The Lord be with you.
With
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of the Lord. This morning, brothers and sisters, I want to address the topic of the new evangelization. Hopefully, this is a term now we've heard several times. Last fall, there was a major synod of bishops held in Rome. A synod is a gathering of representatives of bishops from around the world. There was over 250 bishops who gathered, as well as many laity who were invited too because of their work in the ministry of evangelization. And they spent several weeks together collaborating and giving talks and discussions about the new evangelization. And the fruit of all their work was presented to the Holy Father at the end of the synod. And these synods, by the way, are held every 3 years on different topics. And then what the Holy Father does, I mean, it was Pope Benedict initially who called the synod, but now Francis is the new Father, Holy Father, and so he takes all of the deliberations and all of the fruit and the proposals that they're making, and then he himself reflects on this topic and writes an apostolic exhortation. In fact, he's let us know that he's planning to publish it before the end of the year of faith, which means before the end of this year. And so we will see actually what the fruit of that synod was all about. In the meantime, though, this is not a new topic in the church. It was actually Pope John Paul II who first coined the phrase, perhaps even 25 years ago or more, during his pontificate. And so we want to look at, well, what did he mean by new evangelization? First of all, evangelization is something that Jesus commanded and commissioned his disciples to do before he ascended back into heaven. It's recorded in the Gospels. He told them before his ascension, "I want you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to all creation. Go. Don't just hang on to your own faith. I want you to spread it." And of course, the history of the church is this incredible history of the spreading of Christianity throughout the world over the past 2,000 years. And the understanding, though, many of us traditionally as Catholics, especially the older generation, would have thought of evangelization, well, that's the work of the priests or the missionaries. And we support that work, but they're the ones who are doing the evangelization because, again, the evangelization was understood as the evangelization of foreign nations, foreign countries, foreign peoples, like in Africa or Asia, who had never yet heard the gospel, had not yet become Christian as peoples and nations. What's different now, though, is the understanding that evangelization is not just the call of priests and religious and professional missionaries, but it's the call of all the baptized. It's actually part of our baptismal identity, or I should say your baptismal identity as the laity, that we are all commissioned by Jesus to, according to our vocation and our state of life, to proclaim this good news. We are all, in other words, part of our baptismal identity is a missionary dimension. There's a missionary call that we all have. Now, it's not to be a foreign missionary necessarily, but in our families, in our workplaces, in our society and culture, we are called to bring this good news of the gospel of the Lord. And so that's important to realize, first of all. But now, coming back to the new evangelization, what's new about it? Well, first of all, what's new is the situation in the world. Pope John Paul II brought this to our attention already, like I said, 25, 30 years ago. The situation in the world has changed because now many of the very traditional Christian nations and countries are experiencing a crisis of faith already 30 years ago and have seen the faith eroded and the falling away of the practice of the faith. And we're one of those countries, Canada, the United States, South America, Western Europe in particular. We're all traditional Christian countries up till 50, 60 years ago, and yet now are becoming more and more predominantly secular countries where people do not practice their faith. They might still claim to be spiritual, but they do not have any attachment to the church or very little attachment. They might still be baptized, but that's about it. And even now, the second generation after that, if parents are not going to church, then obviously even their children, when they marry, they're not even bothering necessarily to have their children baptized. But so the first part of the new evangelization is John Paul saying we need to evangelize the baptized or those Christian countries that were one-time Christian but no longer are, including our own nation. We need an evangelization, a new evangelization, because we experienced an original evangelization, you know, hundreds of years ago when the gospel was first brought to Canada or whatnot, but now we need a new evangelization. So that's the first point. Secondly, John Paul made clear to us that the new evangelization, well, actually, before I mention that, this new evangelization, just to give you some figures here, these are approximate, but are we aware, according to polls, that 50 years ago, in the early 1960s, approximately 80% of Catholics in Canada practiced their faith on a regular basis, you know, weekly or almost weekly basis. That's pretty good, 80%. Well, 25 years later, or 30 years later already, that had changed drastically. And the figure had gone down to about 40% back in the 1980s. You know what it is now? It's closer to 20%. So within 50 years, we've gone from 80% practicing of faith to 40 to 20. And in places like Quebec and places in Europe, it was already worse in Europe even 50 years ago, but still, places like Quebec now, they're saying that it might be no higher than 5% of Catholics, traditional Catholics, who are actually practicing their faith. And we know this even because now in Quebec, it's very interesting too, the phenomenon of couples not getting married, not even civilly. What's the point? Why do you need a piece of paper, let alone a church wedding? But that's another issue. But anyways, so this is a terrible crisis. It should concern us all, especially if we who are believers believe that this is good news we've received. God is real. He's alive. He loves us. He has plans for our lives. He has grace and mercy to give us. He has eternal life. And so we need a new evangelization. But John Paul went on to say it's new in three other ways. It needs to be new now in its ardor, new in its methods, and new in its expression because of the state of the world that we're living in. There's been many changes in the modern world that we've witnessed. So new ardor. Ardor means a new passion, a new zeal, a new motivation. In other words, the church needs to be re-motivated to recognize the urgency and the importance of this, and we as Catholics all need to share in this and have a fire in our hearts to want to share this good news with others. So that's the new ardor. Number two, new methods. We need new strategies and new forms of communication, recognizing especially the massive technological changes today. In other words, many people now are using computers and are on the internet and using social media, and so the gospel needs to be in these new frontiers, these new marketplaces, you could say. So just like, again, the gospel always means going out to wherever the people are at. Well, where are the people today? They're in this kind of technological culture, and they're using these forms of communication, so the church needs to be involved in that. But again, that's just one example. The new methods the Holy Fathers mentioned. Number three is new expression. Not only do we need a new ardor, a new zeal, new passion, not only new methods, but we need a new expression. What he meant by that was the very language today that will reach people. How do we express the eternal truth of the gospel, the good news, in a way that people can receive it, in a way that they can relate to? And so we need to find new language, new styles, new articulation that is suited to the needs of contemporary culture and our contemporary people. Very, very important. So those are the three ways that it's also new. So that's what Pope John Paul II left us today. And finally, I want to comment on a new book I just received and I'm reading right now. It's not too long. It's by Cardinal Wuerl, who's the Archbishop of Washington, D.C. And he was one of the three cardinals chosen by the Pope to be the chairman, the secretaries, or what they call the relators of the synod. You know, you have 250 bishops and other people gathered in this big hall. Well, who's chairing the meeting? Well, Cardinal Wuerl was one of the chairmen and also one of the ones then who was tasked with gathering all of the input after the discussion groups and the speeches were made, gathering it all together to submit it to the Holy Father, who in turn, as I mentioned, is going to write an apostolic exhortation. And so Cardinal Wuerl played a very key role. And so he wrote a beautiful book, very simple, small book that really summarizes the new evangelization for us. And towards the end of that book, I kind of was skimming through it, I was caught by what he says are four qualities that we need to have as new evangelizers. You see, we're all called to participate in this new evangelization. And here are four qualities that he thinks need to be in us to be effective evangelizers today. Number one, he says, we need courage and boldness. That's based on our confidence in who Jesus is, and our confidence in the truth of our faith. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so we need to know Jesus and be convicted Catholics ourselves, and deeply, that gives us a confidence to proclaim with courage and boldness our faith, just like the apostles at Pentecost, right? That's exactly what happened to these men and women who are fearful. After the Holy Spirit came upon them, they became bold witnesses, and they immediately began to proclaim and evangelize, and immediately there were massive conversions that took place. And so that's the first quality we need. Number two, he says we need a connectedness to the church. It's very important that we see our identity as Christians. It's not just Jesus and me. We're not just called to be lone range Christians. It's not just my personal private faith. We are part of the body of Christ. We need to have a profound sense of our interconnectedness, and not just a sense of us. We need to foster that interpersonal connectedness, that sense of community, the sense that we are a spiritual family. We are the people of God. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so we need to have that sense of connectedness to the church in order to be effective evangelizers. Number three, he said, we need a sense of urgency to really recognize the crisis that the world is facing and to be motivated because of our love for God and our love for neighbor to want to bring to the world today that has lost touch with God the good news that our Savior came to bring. Like Mary at the Annunciation, after the angel told her she was to conceive and bear Jesus, he also told her that your cousin Elizabeth, who is thought to be barren, is now also expecting, for nothing will be impossible to God. And after hearing that, we are told that Mary made haste to visit her cousin Elizabeth, made haste to go to Elizabeth, and she brought Jesus to Elizabeth because she had already conceived him. And in fact, that's exactly what Elizabeth felt. When she heard Mary's greeting, she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and John the Baptist leapt in her womb because Mary was the first evangelizer. She brought Jesus, and Jesus was already ministering to Elizabeth and to John the Baptist in her womb. And so it's interesting because I don't think a lot of us, we see the visitation as just nice Mary going to her older cousin to assist her in her final months of pregnancy and whatnot. And she was doing that too, practically. But the main thing was she was bringing Jesus to Elizabeth and to Elizabeth's unborn child, John the Baptist. And she made haste to do it. And Scripture tells us, today is the day of salvation. Let us always have that sense, not to put it off to tomorrow, but always every day, Lord, how can I witness to this good news that you have revealed in my heart? How can I share it with others to have a sense of urgency? And finally, the fourth quality is a sense of joy, to be joyful Christians. That's one of the most powerful witnesses. Joy is contagious, and there's nothing more counter-witnessing than to be dour, dull, boring, deadbeat Christians, right? I mean, that's not going to be very convincing to our world today, right? So, and again, we're not talking about manufacturing a false sense of joy. We're talking about the authentic joy, which is the gift and fruit of the Holy Spirit, that to really allow the Holy Spirit to stir up in our hearts and call to mind the love, the peace, the joy, these fruits of the Spirit that transform us from within, and then to be just allowing that grace to flow and to radiate from ourselves. It's like the ideal should be that in our interactions with others, in family, in workplace, and in society in general, people who get to know us, after a while, it's like they come to the point and say, what is it that you've got? What is it that's different about you? I want what you have. That's, you know, the powerful place that if we can bring people to, then they're hungry to hear us share and witness to the good news of our Lord. So again, these are four qualities that Cardinal Wuerl expressed in his book. And let us pray that in this year of faith, and by the way, the year of faith began last October with the Synod of Bishops on this call of the new evangelization, because the gift of faith is brought about when men and women who know the Lord proclaim that good news by word and deed and testimony. That's how faith then is planted in the hearts of others. And so we're all called to continue to grow in our faith. We're all called to be as well missionaries and messengers of the good news. Let us pray that we would be more convicted of this identity that is part of our baptism and respond generously to this call.